So as we've heard, you can invest in the lottery, you can invest in the stock market, you can invest in yourself. Isn't that what you're told? Invest in yourself. If the odds of making a billion in the lottery are low and making a few hundred billion betting on the S&P are even lower, as we learn from David Yanofsky, betting on yourself may actually be one of the worst investments of all right now. The latest data from the Labor Department shows that 6 out of 10 of the fastest growing categories in the U.S. are low-end service jobs, hospitality, tourism, lesser paid areas, and home health care. Part of what this means is that while the job market is improving numerically, unemployment rate going down, the chance of investing in yourself and being able to expect steady incremental gains over the course of your employment life, that's looking pretty dubious in this economy as we look down the road. Rana Faruhar joins me now in the studio, assistant managing editor of Time Magazine. Is investing in yourself kind of a bad idea in this economy right now?
Well, if you don't have an advanced degree, if you're not at the higher end of the labor market, yes. We have a real hollowed out middle. And just to give you a sense of how bad this problem is, I want to give you two figures. So since the financial crisis of 2008 and the recession that followed, 2/3 of the jobs that were lost over that period of time were high-end jobs, well-paying jobs, professional jobs. But half of the jobs that have been created since then are these low-end service jobs that you were talking about. So the middle has truly gotten hollowed out. There are $15 an hour jobs, and there are jobs for PhDs, but there's not enough in the middle.
And if you're at the $15 an hour job level, there isn't necessarily an obvious path into management or to running the company at the McDonald's or Burger King.
That's right. And I think that that's why you're seeing strikes where a lot of service workers in these fast food chains are walking off their job. Walmart has been having problems with these issues. You know, there are certain companies that are starting to actually think about giving back some profits to workers because people cannot make it, particularly in a city like New York or any other major metropolis, even if they're working full time on $15 an hour.
And, you know, we noted that the price of a lottery ticket is a buck, right, and possible billion-dollar return. The price of a PhD ticket to get one of the big right. jobs at the high end, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the return on that investment could take quite a while.
That's absolutely right. And there's a growing debate right now about, is education worth it? Is a four-year degree worth it? Now, I will say a PhD is almost always worth it. If you look at the statistics in terms of who is actually able to monetize their education, people with advanced degrees can generally do that. But if you look at four-year degrees, it really depends on what field you're going into. So you will notice a big difference in the average graduate wages of, say, a liberal arts major, an English major, a history major versus a software developer, someone with a science and technology degree. It's going to be a huge divide.
And if we're trying to think in terms of, you know, what is our general chance in the economy if we have a general set of interests, is that a really bad way of approaching the economy right now? Unless you have a specific idea of a specific category of work that is growing right now, you can't expect necessarily to come into an institution and be able to rise within that institution.
You can't. It's true. I mean, there are certain trade skills, interestingly, the kinds of things that we used to learn in shop classes in the 1970s that are actually quite lucrative. Welders can come out of school or prison as it is. Actually, welding is becoming a big training area in prison because you can come out and make $80,000 a year. Four-year English major at a sort of a B or a C level college, not so much. Depends on what kind of education you get, where you get it. I think in some ways this is going to make the top tier schools even more competitive because having that name and a pedigree is going to help you in the labor market. But also being a creative thinker, being able to be entrepreneurial, move quickly from one field or problem to another, all these things are going to become very important.
Are the numbers there, though, for the people who might want those kinds of jobs? I mean, say everyone decided tomorrow, okay, fine, I'm going to forget whatever it is I'm doing and go into the creative realm. Yeah. Are there enough jobs there?
Right now, no. And one of the biggest questions in the labor market right now is when are we going to have the next tech-related boom. So every couple of decades, there's a major shift in technology. So the last one was probably in the 1990s with the software industry developing. Post-World War II, there was a lot of mechanization in factories. Each time there's a big tech shift in our economy, there's a 2 to 5 year period of lag, and then you see a lot of job creation. The problem is we have not seen that yet. So we've had the dot-com boom, but we don't have those jobs that should have been created off the back of that in the middle. Again, we have a lot of PhD jobs and a lot of jobs being done assembling computers in China. Some of those are being done by robots now, but you don't have those jobs in the middle.
And one of the ironies is because of this lag time that you're talking about, even though there's some good news in the manufacturing sector, even outside of the automation that you talked about, it's more likely that someone coming out of prison with a welding skill is going to be able to take advantage of that than somebody who's going to have to shift gears out of the sort of creative realm into manufacturing.
That's absolutely right. And again, I think that that's why you're seeing a lot of people really think, is it worth it to take on a lot of debt to get a four-year college degree? That's a debate that's going to continue to unfold. There's a lot going on in online education right now. I think a lot of people in the future, younger people who are coming out and seeing this job market and facing the highest youth unemployment rates in years, those are still in the double digits, they're going to say, well, you know what, maybe I'll take a two-year associate's degree and then I'll do some online courses to finish up my four-year degree.
What would you recommend based on the numbers in terms of if you're a young person and want to invest in yourself, or if you're someone mid-career and really need to invest in yourself? What's the highest probability of success?
You know, it's a great question. And I hate to say this, but it depends on what kind of socioeconomic group you're coming from.
Really?
If you are someone...
A rigged game.
It is a rigged game. It is a rigged game. You know, I think that if you're someone that can go to a great four-year school, if you can go to Harvard and not take on a lot of debt, yeah, do it. That will still pay off for you. But if you're someone who is going to need to take on $100,000 worth of debt to go to a mid-tier college somewhere without name recognition, then I think you may be better off with an associate's degree and focusing on some sort of a real marketable skill that you know you're going to be able to monetize.
Higher probability, winning at Mega Millions or taking a mid-career job at Walmart and expecting to rise into management at Walmart?
Oh, man, that is a great question. I'm not sure I want to go on the record with this. I may still say rising at Walmart, but the difference could be marginal.
All right. Well, thanks for going there.
Thank you.
Rana Furuhara is Assistant Managing Editor of Time Magazine. Back to the issue of trust now that the NSA surveillance programs have been called unconstitutional by a federal judge. Who trusts their government out there? From Salt Lake City, Utah, one of you says trust is something earned. The government lost my trust long ago. 2013 only made my mistrust concrete. And some humor from Grants Pass, Oregon. I trust my cat more than the government, and I don't trust him at all. Sarah from Dallas, Texas. It's hard enough to put complete faith and trust in people you personally know. How in the world can you trust that the left and right will get anything done? 877-8-MY-TAKE is our number. Much more at thetakeaway.org.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.